Welcome to Christ Today. Oh, how thankful we are to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that He gave us Jesus Christ as our Savior, who walked the earth and was a sacrifice for us to die on the cross and allow our sin to be forgiven. When we trust Him and repent. Thank you, Lord Jesus. At this time, we celebrate Resurrection Day. We remember that Jesus the Christ died on the cross, which fulfilled the biblical requirement for a perfect sacrifice to be made for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus died and was buried in the Hebrew tradition, which meant His body was wrapped in linen and placed in a burial cave with a big rounded stone in front of the burial cave. Then, after 3 days, as foretold by Scripture, Jesus rose from the dead. And by this we know that Jesus has power over death. Also, because Jesus brought Lazarus from death to life. John 11:38 tells of this and how Jesus commanded Lazarus, "Come forth." And Lazarus, who had been wrapped in the grave clothes, dead for 4 days, he did come forth. And praise Jesus, who has victory over death. And therefore, we can be assured that His word for us, for life everlasting, is true. After Jesus died on the cross, there were people who saw and testified that Christ Jesus had risen. In the Gospel of John, chapters 20 and 21, it tells of Mary Magdalene having seen the risen Jesus, and of His apostles seeing the risen Jesus. Also, how the risen Jesus met two apostles on the road to Emmaus, and there was the crowd of 500 who saw the risen Jesus. That was in 1 Corinthians 15:6. And at the end of Luke chapter 24, the risen Jesus showed Himself to the apostles and said to them, "See My hands and My feet, handle them and see that I am flesh." And then Jesus ate fish and honeycomb, further demonstrating that He had come in the flesh. By Jesus living again, we know that we also can live again, and that the Bible says we can live in that heavenly place and be saved from hellfire through our personal relation with Jesus, which is written about in the Bible. So pray and read the Bible. Maybe start in the Gospel of John, but read the Bible. A lot of people like the beginning of John because it kind of is the basics and it tells about God and love. And, well, read the Bible. It's a good book. Let's read John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'll read a couple of more verses of that good news of the Gospel of John 3:17. "For God did not send His Son Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, Jesus, might be saved. He who believes in Him, Jesus, is not condemned, But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. And yep, that is typical for most people. We do not want our deeds, our evil deeds, to be exposed. And that was me once also. See, every one of us has to turn from what God says is evil and wrong, and then we turn from that error, and we walk with Jesus in his light and in his holiness. And we are saved by believing. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 say, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, as a part of this, we are spiritually born again. And Jesus describes this to Nicodemus in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Jesus says we must be born again in the Spirit to see the kingdom of God. There's kind of an outline here with this here and that there. And I think there are some churches who have figured out exactly what you need to do to be saved. And from what I see, God does not have an exact formula for what to do to be saved. And that is why I believe that it is your heart condition. And that is what saves a person. And I will not be the judge of that, but you will want to be sure of your own heart condition toward God, Jesus. You see, if you look at the thief on the cross who was crucified next to Jesus, Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So, okay, you may understand this better than another person, but that's what I understand, that it's a heart condition, not a formula. And I know of churches who say you must show evidence of salvation if you are really saved. A specific church might say you have to speak in tongues, or you have to tithe, or you have to do good works, or you have to complete a catechism or the sacraments. What does it mean to be saved? What do you have to do? Well, it's a little bit different here and there. And I also use as an example the thief on the cross next to Jesus. He did none of those things. And yet Jesus said that he would be with him that day in paradise. So I say, examine the Bible for yourself. And After all, we are all responsible for our own salvation. No one else is. Your pastor is not. Your priest is not. Your parents are not. And certainly not some guy on the radio. Nope. It is you who are responsible for your own salvation. And to be assured of that, I say, study the Bible. Look at God's Word. Maybe it's just as easy as can be. But it's not for me to judge that. It is for you to examine it and pursue it and seek your relation with God through Jesus Christ. I do hope that you learn God's truth from the Bible, for there is no greater truth than the Bible. And yes, we do celebrate God's love for us. We know that He loves us so very much, and that He has a plan for our salvation. So you seek it. Seek out that understanding. Seek that relation with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. He gives it to us as a gift by Jesus' death on the cross. And like any other gift, we have to accept that gift for it to be ours. I certainly do thank God for His gift to me of eternal salvation in heaven. And I'm so thankful that I want to do what He wants me to do. I want to do it. It's not a matter of requirement. It's a great desire. And as we celebrate this day that I call Resurrection Day, I celebrate that there has been so very much that God has done for me. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I celebrate the wondrous joy, the gift of His love, the gift of life. I celebrate it. And I know that most people call this holy day by a different name, but I don't want to use that name because it is derived from paganism. So, keep your thoughts on Jesus. Let your focus be on Jesus, and let your hope be in Christ Jesus. And of course, we do live in the here and now. We don't live in the future or in the past. Life is right here and right now. And there is so very much going on around us. It's easy to let our concerns go to the things of this world, to be concerned with the things around us, with this and that. And we all know how we get concerned about the little troubles that we have. We know that our wants and our desires can get the best of our attention also. We struggle with the things in life. Certainly, we struggle with money issues. And we just struggle with all sorts of things. And all these things will get a lot of our attention. That's just life. But we have to resist focusing our attention on those things, those issues of the day. And we have to remember to keep our focus on Jesus and not on the things of the earth. Focus on Jesus. Focus on eternal life of ourselves and of others. And for others, certainly it is speaking the good news of the gospel, and it is remembering people and situations in prayer. So this Resurrection Day reminds us to put our attention on what is eternally important and how wonderful it is that Jesus conquered death by rising from the dead unto life. So it's so easy for us to get distracted by all the things around us in this physical world. So, besides the regular concerns we have a few extra concerns going on nowadays. Yeah, we have the regular cares and our regular needs of food and housing or having transportation, a car, having warmth, having security, having good company and personal relationships. Yes, we have regular cares. And nowadays, we have the extra ones as well. You know what they are. You know what's going on with the virus and the economy. And there are always the little things like that that aren't so little, but they are compared to eternal life. Eternal life is so great and so important that all the other things can be small and insignificant. But as we go through life, they certainly are not. As we have a little need for something, our concerns are important. So, do you ever wonder what God's concerns are? Well, let me think out loud for a minute. God did not like when man's thoughts were only wicked. And that's written about in Genesis 6:5. When the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And you know what happened not too long after that, don't you? The flood, and all of mankind perished, except 8 souls. So what else does God not like? He does not like the murder of the innocents. You remember when Pharaoh commanded the midwives to kill the baby boys right after birth? Well, that was killing the innocent. And also, there was something else going on at that time in Pharaoh's Egypt that Pharaoh did not let God's people go to worship God freely. And that was also a part of why Moses called the plagues down on Egypt. The plagues which God ordained and which God caused. And then that great nation, Egypt, was destroyed by God using the plagues because they were doing wickedly. Oh, and then a bunch of time went by, and those Hebrew children began to worship a strange God that caused them to kill their innocent babies in the fire and to have lots of improper sex with so-called temple prostitutes. And when this wickedness happened, the people were judged and the nation was judged. And it did not turn out well for the nation of Israel or the people of Israel. I have a concern that today we are kind of doing the same thing which caused judgment to come upon other nations in the past. Well, not kind of. We are very much doing the same thing. And we make excuses and we justify doing the things that God says not to do. And oh boy, does not that sound like a formula for big trouble? Yeah, we just could have big trouble coming our way because we're doing the same thing that has caused other nations and peoples to be judged. Yes, we know that God loves us, and we know that God holds us responsible for what we do, and we know that we get consequences for what we do in life. And then we get the judgment when we die. See, that's in Hebrews 9:27, where it says, "It is appointed to men once to die, and then the judgment." This is why we are so excited about Resurrection Day, that when we accept the free gift of Jesus' death on the cross, and we are spiritually born again into God's kingdom, our sins are forgiven, and there is no need to have any fear of death. And if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, or there's another one kind of like that, a book called Jesus Freaks, that's about 20 years old, or maybe if you read the Voice of the Martyrs magazine, there are examples of lots of people who no longer fear death because of their relationship with Jesus. Well, I have a story here, and I don't hardly fly much, but nearly 20 years ago, I was on a commercial airliner. And just after takeoff, one of its four jet engines stopped working. And the pilot was going to reroute the plane to the nearest airport. After that announcement, the airline passengers got very quiet. And I was tired, so I said a little prayer briefly, and then I went to sleep. For me, I was all right with whatever happened because I was secure with Jesus. So that's an example of how the things around us can be a distraction. There are lots of distractions in life. We have them all the time. We have them every day. We have them in our life, from people and events around us. And the things that are going on today, they are a distraction, and they are causing lots of people to be worried. The events of today are causing lots of people to have anxiety. I have anxiety because of them also, but I don't have worry. I do wonder what's going to happen. I do wonder how events are going to unfold. I do. But as we can consider what is coming our way, well, it's just all very interesting. Don't worry about it, but do have thoughts and concerns. Sure, that's good. That's interesting. Because we do live in this world. It's just that we are not, we're not a permanent part of it because we belong to the kingdom of God. So, the examples today, well, we know the examples of what's around us. We know that there are events, and we know that there are people. And There are plenty of concerns. There's plenty of events. But always remember to focus on Jesus. You don't have to worry about anything. We can wonder about them, but not worry. All of this is affecting each one of us. Like I said, it affects me too. We have more and more to deal with stores opening and stores closing. Well, their business hours change. I really don't know of any stores that are opening. But I did hear of a business that was just opening of making face masks, the kind that just fit over your nose and your mouth. Homemade face masks. So that's a startup business that I heard about. In fact, I bought one of them. But the things that are going on with businesses and the orders to stay at home, it's changing our life. It is affecting every one of us. We have lines now to get into stores, if you even dare to go out. They will only let so many people into a store at one time now for fear of spreading the virus. That's what they say. And in Southern California, there were people who drove to the beach to watch the sunset. And they were ticketed by the police for being out of their homes. That just happened a couple of days ago. So yes, we wonder what is coming. All these things, they occupy our brains, and we get to think of, think of what's in front of us. All sorts of things are in front of us. They distract us, but we don't want to be distracted from Jesus. We want to keep Jesus in the center of our thoughts on this time where we celebrate Resurrection Day. Yeah, there's things that just go on that occupy our brains. And here's an example. Last week, I was helping my friend move like radio appliances. And so I was looking at this and thinking, wow, there's a really long wire. I don't want it to get in the way. And it was crumpled up. And so I took out my knife and I cut it off. That was dumb. I should not have done that. It wasn't even my appliance deal. So I don't know that I've ever done something like that before, but I think it happened because there was so much in my mind and I was distracted. I did apologize for it and, of course, admitted to it. But it just made me think of how anybody with things on their mind could get distracted, and how we do have so much on our mind in these days. And because of that distraction, we can do something that is irrational, something we wouldn't expect. And that is a part of what we can expect from other people: irrational behavior, something unexpected, something out of the normal, because our situation is not normal. So I say that as a word of caution to say things are different today and we better think about them. Lots of people are just plain overloaded. They walk around, their concerns are all completely on their mind, and they might not be thinking rationally about what is in front of them. So be aware of other people. Take extra care and maybe slow down. Use more care when you're driving. Use more care when you're walking. Pay attention to the little things, and of course, the big things as well. People have so many concerns, especially now with the changing situation, with the virus, with the stay home, with the shutting down. And so many people are having financial concerns on their mind. How are we going to make the payments? How are we going to afford food? And unemployment claims have shot up to an unbelievable level. Oh, about a week ago there were reports. I wish I could remember the details, but I pretty much remember that it was 14 times normal for this time of year. That is how much unemployment claims have shot up. So we know that people are distracted, and there are going to be some people who are very desperate. They will act irrationally. And that means we have to be more concerned with what is going on around us. I know 4 nights ago at 3 a.m., this is a personal story, while my wife and I were sleeping, the front door got shoved really, really hard, twice, quickly, and then nothing. Well, I'm glad nothing happened, but when something like this happens, it really gets your attention. And it's never happened before for me. It never happened. So you wonder, what's going on? What has changed? What does it mean? Well, I think it means that people are getting a little more desperate. And so we increase our carefulness, and we keep praying one for another. And we also want to remember to practice kindness. And that kindness ought to be done with wisdom and safety. Practice kindness thoughtfully. We know that God has given us resources that we are to use wisely. So if you're thinking of giving some of your things away, some of those resources, that's good. We ought to. But we want to do it with wisdom. Kindness can be in the form of a material gift, or kindness can be in the form of a simple human acknowledgement. It might be with a smile, and it might be without a smile, depend on the circumstances. So use wisdom and do not expose yourself to risk or to harm. See, there's so many uncertainties in today's situation. The economics are, well, they're intense for some people, for sure. So many people are feeling that financial pressure and just wondering how things are going to go. A word about rent payments. Here is an average number, and it was compiled on a limited basis, but here it is. Last month, 81% of the renters paid their rent on time. By the end of the first week. 81% of the renters paid their rent by the end of the first week. This month, 33% of the renters paid their rent by the end of the first week of the month. 81% versus 33%. That is a combination of business and residential rentals. So no doubt this was done by a rental management company. Well, it just goes to show that things could get serious pretty quickly. Difficulties could come. And I would think it's pretty interesting, because who is telling us to do all these things? To stay in and not go to work? It's our politicians. They have determined that this is wise. And our politicians, we can be pretty sure, are getting their rent. I don't mean rent. They're getting their wages paid. They are still earning money and having an income. But we regular people and the landlords, they're not getting their regular money. And if we see landlords going broke, whether they're individuals or property-owning companies, if they go broke, it will ripple, and eventually the banks will go broke. So that's bankruptcy for banks. It just could be something that starts out small and affects the middle and then affects the big companies too. It's going to be interesting. We just don't know. We don't know. But we want to be prepared as best we know how. Did you hear that Los Angeles Mary Garcetti said that there could be a second or maybe a third lockdown after this one? Wow, it just makes you wonder what is coming. It has been suggested, now this is not the way it is, but it has been suggested that we all have universal testing, or that we all have universal vaccinations. And if we did not have proof of this, if we did not have our papers showing this, then you would not be allowed to enter a bank or a grocery store, or a public building. So I don't mean that that's not law, but it's something that is being talked about. We do have to wonder what's coming, because we surely do not know. I heard of the United Nations official of the WHO, that is the World Health Organization. He was named Dr. Michael Ryan, and he said the United Nations World Health Organization may have to enter homes and remove family members in a safe and dignified manner to stop the spread of coronavirus. That's what he said. Let's see, Tucker Carlson commented on this, and he said it sounded to him like an infected family member could be removed by force. Now, doesn't that change things? Yeah, and you know that an infected person may not show any symptoms. So, how do you know that the test is accurate? How do you know that a person is really infected? Is the infected person being taken away? Or is a healthy person being taken away? It's a slippery slope that we are on, and we had better be careful. We had better do everything we can to maintain our liberty. The other thing about the United Nations is that the United Nations has said that there should be a 10% global tax to pay for the new shared responsibility program to address the coronavirus pandemic. Well, it's not here yet, but we ought to be aware of what is being talked about and the direction that things are going in. If we don't speak up, we don't know what the changes will be that are going to affect us. We just don't know. I've heard people in response to that United Nations doctor talking about going into homes and removing infected people in a safe and dignified manner. The response that I have heard is that we need to arm ourselves so that authorities don't get carried away with their authority. Well, I sure don't know about that. But just like we look at the direction of thought with the United Nations, I think it's wise to look at the direction of thought with people who say, arm yourselves. Well, I don't know. That is such an individual decision that you have to examine that one on your own. I don't even have any advice for that. I just know that guns can be good and guns can be bad. So whatever you do, do it with responsibility. Yep. Today we have that coronavirus going around, and it is affecting so many people. One of the people groups that it is affecting is people in rest homes. People, the elderly people, and they are being closed into their homes and not allowed any visitors for their own safety because they are at risk group. A lot of people will die in those older age categories if the coronavirus is spread to them. So the rest homes have been closed to family and visitors. Anyway, that's widely the case. And thus we would not be allowed to visit our parents or friends in a rest home. That is something that is very difficult for the older people. Older people, they need a little company. They need a little touch. Why, even a handshake is good for older people or for younger people in society. See, that's one of those human traits that we have. The psychologists, psychiatrists, they say that without the human touch, we normally healthy humans tend to die quicker. And that there needs to be a certain human contact. So we just wonder how the world is going to get through a time when we are all isolated. in a rest home or in our own home. Or for that matter, think about the people who are in prison or in jail or on parole and not allowed to have any contact with other people. See, all these things are a condition of our society, and we get to, well, deal with it. Deal with it. And what price are we going to be paying to keep us all safe from the coronavirus? It's a virus. It's a virus, like the flu is a virus. Influenza is a virus. It kills thousands of people every year. Influenza kills 60, 70, 80,000 people a year in the United States. We don't know about the coronavirus yet, but people do die, and we have to deal with that truth. So what are we being kept safe from? It's all a great big question, and I don't think there are any real answers. There are answers, but are we in agreement with them? It's causing a lot of economic hardship and, in fact, destruction on our entire society. Is it worth it? I think we'll look back and we'll know. But at this point, we have to make the best decisions that we know how. They're not easy ones. And I think it is so important to not fear. Do not base your decisions on fear. Try to have humanity, have God's love in the decisions that you are making. Especially on this coming up Resurrection Day. Show the kindness that you can. As speaking of the effects of what is going on, we have a man who has been, well, he's the largest hedge fund manager. He deals with, he's the manager of a $160 billion fund. He deals with people who have a whole lot of money. And he himself does too. He's said to have $18 billion of net worth. Just him. So he is in a position to talk to a lot of important people. The people who know things. The people who have a lot going on. He talks with people, and this is what he says is coming our way. This was just 3 days ago. He said, "This is not a recession. This is a breakdown. All will be restructured. As we head into a Great Depression similar to that of the 1930s. And it will take many years to recover from this breakdown." That's what Ray Dalio says. He's in a position to know a lot of things, information, and a lot of people. So we can listen to what he has to say. It's good to listen to people who are in a position to have knowledge. He, of course, can't tell the future, but he's a man who sees the patterns, and it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but we can consider that a big old Great Depression might be coming. And so our position is to recognize that people can have ideas that are wise. And what would you do if we were heading towards a Great Depression similar to that of the 1930s? What would you do? Well, hopefully there's a little time left to have a little more income and pay off debts and to have a few supplies on hand. Because when things break down, you just don't know what it is that's going to break down. In the Great Depression, there were still farmers planting and harvesting food. But there was not the resources to bring that food to market. And so there were deaths in the Great Depression because of starvation. Partly because people couldn't afford the food, and partly because people could not afford to get the food to market. And I mean to say that one thing can affect the other, and while we don't know what will happen, we can look at the indicators. And the indicators show that we could have some really big financial upsets coming. What do we do? Like I said, we pay off the debt and have that we have, and we have a little savings in the form of whatever you think is important. Some people have their savings in the form of money. Others have their savings in the form of gold and silver, which is good too. Gold and silver seems to hold value when money does not. Money meaning paper currency. And I've talked about it before. Our Federal Reserve is in effect printing so much money. QE Unlimited is what they're calling it. And that is another term for helicopter money. That is when money is printed so freely that it is as though a helicopter were flying overhead and throwing money onto the streets below. That's where the term helicopter money, what it implies. So we have a time of trouble coming. Has to be. But we don't know quite what will happen. It's just that we know things are going to happen. And no matter what is coming, we want to remember that our focus is on Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, when we put our trust and faith in Him. When we're born again into the kingdom of God, say yes to Jesus and follow Him. Do you want to know more about it? The Bible has plenty to say. I say read the Bible because the Bible is God's Word. In the middle of whatever is going on, we can always have peace with and through Jesus Christ. That's something we always want to remember, because there are always difficulties that each one of us has. We have difficulties with people we know, on the job, in the home, with our spouse. We always have things that are in front of us that we have to deal with. But we can have peace through Jesus Christ. And we can use the wisdom of the Bible to get settled into that peace and to settle the disputes that are in front of us at home or at work. We use Bible wisdom and we apply that to our own life. And that is how we get through so many difficulties in life. And we do that with prayer. We ask God to show us before we read the Bible. And I think after we read the Bible, we ask for Him to show us His wisdom. In the meanwhile, we pray for our family. We pray for our friends. We pray for the hurting people around us. And of course, we pray for the pastors and the Christian ministries and those at all levels of our government, that they do rightly the right thing in according to God's wisdom. And that means we turn to God and we follow His biblical righteousness. We do wonder at what's coming, but with God's wisdom, we can face it all. We can do well spiritually in all that is in front of us. So remember to have our hope in Jesus and in our resurrection as we celebrate this Resurrection Day with joy. And thank you for listening to Christ Today. You can always listen to past broadcasts by going to www.christtoday.org, and that is all lowercase and no spaces. Of course, you can get my free preparedness brochure by sending a stamped self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Happy Resurrection Day.